Greet two or three people, tell them you sure are glad to see them this morning. I had offering and I didn't even see it go by. So I figured out why they put me on Sunday morning. Because I don't go as long as your daddy. Everybody can get out in time for lunch.
Wisdom.
The wisdom of God flowing right there. Amen. Well, so far, how's 2021? Good? Good. We know that it's going to be however we say, right? It's going to be however we talk. It's going to be however we declare. Because the Bible says, declare a thing, and it shall be. Which only makes sense because we're made in the likeness and image of God. And what happened when he said something? It came forth. And we're to pattern our life after his. So when we say something, we should expect to get a result from it. Amen. That's what we're going to be talking about this morning. If you would like to, go ahead and turn to Proverbs 18:21. It's pretty plain English in that. Proverbs 18:21, death and life. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Yes. I'm going to pray and then we're going to get into the word. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus and we thank you this day for your word does bring light, illumination, wisdom, knowledge to us so that we can operate in the things that you have for us, the things that you have called us to. Father, we thank you this day that we will take your word as food from heaven, and it will nourish our spirit and cause us to be growing in every area of our life. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, the absolute truth cannot be changed, right? An absolute truth cannot be changed. And there's two laws on this earth that are absolute laws. One is the law of spirit of life, and the wages of that is what? No. Law, there's the law of the spirit of life. That's one law. So that equals life. And then there's the law of sin and death. The wages of that is death. Everything is controlled by our words. What we say, what we speak, is what we will ultimately see. Think about this right now. If you got paid today for what you said in 2020, what would your wages be? I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know what's going to happen. Everything's in such turmoil. Everything's so crazy. What are we going to do? Brother Hagin said, payday always comes. It don't always come every Friday night, but it always comes. It always comes. So if you found yourself in 2020 in despair, saying things along those lines, just repent. Father, forgive me. I was doing that out of ignorance. We all operate in ignorance sometime, don't we? I ask you to help me put a watch over my mouth so that I don't say the things that are contrary to what I want.
Yes, amen.
And what you have for me. Amen?
Amen.
So if we got paid for 2020, what would our wages be? I want to change 2021. It's so interesting that it didn't say that, well, now you have to take into consideration what's going on in the country. Or you have to take into consideration the economy. You know, if you're going to quote those scriptures about finances, you need to look at Dow Jones first. That's not the law that we operate by. That's the law that the Gentiles, the world, operates by. They look at that, and then they decide what they're going to do. We look at the Word of God, and then we say, what's going to happen, what's going to come to pass. I'm going to be blessed this year. No matter who's the president, no matter who's our senators, no matter who's our Congress, no matter what Dow Jones is doing, I'm going to be blessed because the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. That is a law that is operating on this earth. Do we have any righteous people in here this morning? All that simply means is that you are in right standing with God, operating in all the knowledge you have of Him.
Yeah.
That's all that means. And if you can say you're doing that, then guess what? You're in line for the blessings of God.
Amen.
You're in line for everything He's got for you.
Yeah.
Let's go to Matthew 12:37. And it says, "For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned."
Yeah.
The New Living Translation says, "The words you say will either acquit you or condemn you."
Amen.
They will either acquit you or condemn you. What you're saying. How many of you have ever watched any shows on TV where there's a jury or not a jury, a police officer arresting somebody?
Yeah.
What do they do? What's the first thing they do? They Miranda, thank you. They Mirandarize them. You know why? Because at that particular point, their words are extremely important, because at that particular point, their words can justify or their words can condemn them. And then, what do they say? They can be held against you in a court of law. Well, on this earth, we kind of operate in a spiritual realm the same way. Those words can be used against us. Even though that's not what we're wanting, even though that's not what we're believing for, but if we keep saying those words, the devil has a right to act on them on our behalf. I would rather have God acting on my words than the devil. Amen? Now, God won't give you or put anything on you or bad. But He has to allow it if we declare it. Because we are free moral agents. He did not make a bunch of robots that think one way and have no decision, have no say-so in what goes on in our life. We have every bit of say-so what goes on in our life.
Amen.
Too many people are confused thinking, well, if God wants it, it's just going to happen. That's not the way it works.
No.
If it was, wouldn't everybody right now be on their way to heaven? Yeah. Everybody on this earth, wouldn't they be on their way to heaven right now? Yeah. If it absolutely worked the way God wanted. Because that's what he wants. His word tells us he desires that we prosper and be in health. Is everybody prospering and in health?
No.
Even Christians aren't. Just because you get born again too don't mean you're going to operate in all those things. Because we have a part to play. We have to say what we want. We have to decide how we're going to live, and then we have to say, amen?
Amen.
The words you say will either acquit you or condemn you. You're justified by the words out of your mouth, or you're condemned by the words out of your mouth. Let's go to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, and I'm going to read 1 through 7. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love. Now, in my New Living Translation over here, above these scriptures, it says living in the light. So that lets me know that the light of the word is giving us instructions on how to live. Instructions is what keeps us in the boundaries of what God has for us. When we get outside those instructions and do things outside those instructions, that's when we get in trouble. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love. Oh snap. Walk in love. As Christ also loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For these you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. In the New Living Translation, it's a little easier to read, but it says, imitate God therefore in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Amen. Imitate God. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. That's what we are to him. Let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Such sins have no place among God's people. Obscene stories, foolish talk, and coarse jokes, these are not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. You can be sure that no immoral, impure, or greedy person will inherit the kingdom of Christ and of God. For a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins, for the anger of God will fall on all who disobey him. Don't participate in the things these people do. Where is the kingdom of God?
Inside.
It's inside of. So that's not something in heaven that we're going to get to, right? That's not a place where we're going to go one day. The kingdom of God is within us. So to live in the kingdom of God here on earth, what is required of us? These things I just read right here. Just walk in love. Don't be ugly to people. Don't sin. And guess what? When you live in a kingdom, you get all the benefits of that kingdom. We're children of God. And He has a kingdom for us to live in. He's not going to give us a place that we cannot live free of depression, of sin, of sickness, of poverty. That is His ultimate desire for us. To live like Him.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen? Yeah. If you don't understand that or know that, I want to encourage you in 2021, read the Bible.
Yes, ma'am.
Get to know the nature of God.
Yes.
Get to know who He is. I was raised in a denomination that told me God was just in heaven waiting for me to mess up so He could hit me over the head. You know, and take me down a notch or two. So I always had that mentality when something good was going on. I was always waiting for the shoe to fall. For everything to fall apart. I was always waiting for something to happen. Because I had that mentality. But living in the kingdom of God, you don't have that mentality. Living in the kingdom of God always is up here, upward, onward, good stuff. Amen? It's important to speak positive, and it's important to know what we have in the kingdom and to know how to operate in the kingdom. We still have to deal with our flesh. If you haven't realized it yet, pastors, teachers, preachers, prophets, they all have to deal with their flesh too. It's not something that we get to just leave aside when we get called into the ministry. It's an everyday walk with us too. Especially depending on where you were raised and how you were raised. Because I was raised, if somebody hit you, you hit them back. Take care of business. But that's not the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? Turn the other cheek. And for us that was not raised that way, that is hard. Because our first impulse. Yeah. Our nature. Is to get back. To hurt those that have hurt us. But the love of God is not. So in order for me to live in that kingdom, I have to overcome those fleshly desires and those things that I have always done before. I don't have to do it all on my own though. God will help us. He will help us to change those things. Yeah, I can almost just let somebody spit on me now and walk away, almost. Yeah, let's not go too far with it. No. It is something that we do have to work on ourselves, but God will help us with it. He will help us with it. Our words have power. Let's go to Proverbs 15. One and two. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright. But the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. The Living Translation says, a gentle answer deflects anger. Yeah. Have you ever seen that? Have you ever noticed that?
Yeah.
At the especially about January, this time of year when everybody's taken back all of their Christmas presents that they didn't fit or they didn't like, and they have to stand in a line for an hour just to return it. And this lady that is taking the return has been there all day listening to mean, hateful people that are blaming her for everything. And so you get up right up to the line and, well, what do you want? What have you got? What do you think? Automatically, what do you want to do? Excuse me? You want to automatically snap right back. That's our nature. But the Bible says a gentle answer deflects anger. So how do we get to that gentle answer? Be praying in the Holy Ghost the whole time you're in that line. That'll help you. It will help you. But you have to make a decision. You have to determine in your heart before you get there. I'm not going to be upset. I'm not going to get angry. This is, if you will start saying those things out of your mouth, this is going to be quick and easy for me. I can't tell you how many times we've been at the airport. And, you know, people act like those stewardesses run everything. Well, they don't. Or the people at the gates that's letting you on, they act like they just really run the airport. We've been there when, you're sitting there and it's 15 minutes away from your flight, and they come over their speaker and they'd say, well, sorry to tell you this, but the flight has been delayed or the flight has been canceled. And then you've got these people that are irate. And they go up there and they start giving this poor lady what for. You know, like she can call the pilot and say, hey, look, we got some mad people here. Why don't y'all just bring that plane on around anyway? What are they really thinking? They're not showing the love of God. Of course, we don't even know if they're Christians, but a lot of Christians act that way too, I'm sorry to say. But we have sat there or got in line and just to check and see if there's another flight we can get on. And I've seen my husband do this hundreds of times. Say, you know, I'm sorry you're having to go through this, but, you know, we just want to check and see if there's another flight we can get or if there's something else. And immediately, that woman's attitude changes, and they have helped us go around or get another flight or even got us a motel one time for two nights in Los Angeles. Was it Los Angeles? Got us a motel for two nights there because the plane kept getting delayed. And all we did was treat her like a human being. Show the love of God to us. Now, the other people that were up there screaming and yelling, she didn't help them so much. Because what happened when you sow things? You reap things. So if you're sowing meanness and ugliness to that lady, guess what? You're going to reap it back. But it's been more than once that that has happened to us at airlines. And you see it wherever you go. If you are at a gas station and the attendant's having a bad day, this gentle answer will deflect anger. The laws of sowing and reaping are in effect in our lives. Our words will bring healing, or they will bring destruction, whichever one we're planting. Words can make you fight and mad. Let's look at Proverbs 26. 22 through 28. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Burning lips and a wicked heart are like a potsherd. Is that how you say that? Covered with silver dross. He that hath dissembleth with his lips and layeth up deceit within him, when he speaketh fair, believeth him not, for they are seven abominations in his heart, whose hatred is covered by deceit. Hatred is covered by deceit. His wickedness shall be showed before the whole congregation. Whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein, and he that rolleth a stone, it will return upon him. Basically, what they're saying, what he's saying here in Proverbs is, if you sow it, you're going to reap it. A lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin. Words can ruin people. Proverbs 20:26, I'm going to read it in the New Living Translation, says, while their hatred... No, 22. I'm going to start in 22. Rumors are dainty morsels that seek deep into one's heart. Smooth words may hide a wicked heart just as a pretty glaze covers a clay pot. People may cover their hatred with pleasant words, but they're deceiving you. They pretend to be kind, but don't believe them. Their hearts are full of many evils. While their hatred may be concealed by trickery, their wrongdoing will be exposed in public. Amen. If you set a trap for others, you will get caught in it yourself. If you roll a boulder down on others, it will crush you instead. A lying tongue hates its victims, and flattering words cause ruin. But rumors are dainty morsels. I have, the last couple of years, I have come to the knowledge that if it's not my story, I shouldn't tell it. If it's not my story, I shouldn't tell it. And that's just a basic way of saying, don't gossip. Because anything you hear secondhand is gossip. And did any of you play that game when you were in junior high or youth, where all the kids got in a line, somebody said something at one end, and they whispered it to each other all the way down, and by the time it got to the end, it was nothing like what they started? That is how gossip works. Because people add to and take away. So it never portrays the real story. And even the person telling the story on themselves always makes it sound better for their self. So even then, if it actually happened to them, you have to be careful when you're listening, because you will hear their side and their version, which will only make them look good. Very few times have I run across somebody that made themselves look bad. It's always somebody else's fault. Somebody else caused it. It's sad that people won't take responsibility for their own actions and say, I caused this whole thing. It was my fault. I shouldn't have done, or I shouldn't have said what I did. But we always start out with, so-and-so just really hurt me. And I want you to pray with me for them. But they said. And of course, I said something back to them, but mine wasn't as bad as what they said, because they started it. They did wrong. So I actually had a right to do what I did. That's basically what you're saying. When you start to tell somebody a story about someone else that is not flattering about them, you're saying, I had a right to do what I did because of what they did. But how does the Bible deal with that? Walk in love. Walk in love, which means you don't even tell the story again. But guess what the devil's going to do? He's going to remind you every chance he gets what they did, what they said, and then what happens. We start thinking about it, meditating on it, and then what comes out of our mouth? Things that shouldn't be said. Things that shouldn't be said. And what are we doing? We're writing us a paycheck.
Yes, we
are. We're writing us a paycheck. Words can make you fight and mad. Words can hurt people. Or words can comfort you. Let's look at Isaiah 50. Isaiah 50, verse 4. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned. This is talking about that wisdom that Reverend Ricky's been talking about. That I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. You know what? That is something we should actually put on our mirror in the mornings when we wake up. Lord, I have the tongue of the learned. That I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. The New Living Translation says, the Sovereign Lord has given me his words of wisdom, so that I know how to comfort the weary. Morning by morning, he wakens me and opens my understanding to his will. That would be actually good words for us to be speaking over ourselves every day. And then what would happen in our life? We would become compassionate. We would actually become a help to other people. We would actually be encouraging and doing the work of the Lord. Amen? Because those words are just as powerful as the mean ones, right?
Yeah.
So if we can tear somebody down with our words, we can also build them up with them.
Yeah.
Amen? And our words aren't just for other people. They're for ourselves too. And if we're sowing words of encouragement to other people, words of help, then what's going to come to us? Words of encouragement and words of help. Matthew 12:36 and 37 says, "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." Maybe we should Mirandize ourselves every morning. I have the right to remain silent. Anything I say can and will be used against me. That would be pretty neat every morning if we got up and told ourselves that, wouldn't we? I have the right to remain silent. Remaining silent is probably the best thing we can do. Amen? Because you don't have to do as much repenting if you keep your mouth shut. Let's look at Hebrews 12. Amen. Hebrews 12, 1 through 17. And I'm going to read this in the New Living Translation. And it's just a way that we should discipline ourselves and listen to the discipline of God. Amen. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us." Well, you know, every Christian I have met, honestly, that is their desire, to run the race God has set before them, to do what He's called them to do. But we live in this world where we let these weights and these things that we're continually hearing every day weigh us down and get us. And I have seen people that you couldn't even tell they were Christians anymore because of the things that they had let come in, the things that they have had heard, and then actually been repeating. You can't build something up with bad words. You can't build yourself up with bad words. All the words that are in the Bible are yes and amen. And they are words for us to live by, to pattern our life after. Amen? We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, number one. Not our eyes on TBN. I like Christian shows, but I have come to the realization that you can get pretty confused watching every preacher on TV. We do this keeping our eyes on Jesus, number one. So where should we go for our answers? Not to the local preacher on TV. Go to the Word. Why? Because His Word has every answer we will ever need. It has every answer. The champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting Him. Now, it wasn't a joy for Him to go to the cross. But He knew what was on the other side of the cross. He knew what He was going to have to do. And He still had joy because of what it was going to produce. He endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now He is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility He endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. Just think, Jesus did this. He was our example. He did it as a man. He did not do it as the Son of God. So many people think, well, Jesus could do it because he was the Son of God. No, he didn't get to have anything that was supernatural or miraculous take him from any situation. He came as a man because God needed to show us that as men, we can do it if we choose to. After all, you have not yet given your lives in your struggle against sin. Have you? I'd say no, all of you are still here. None of you are in the graveyard, so you haven't given your life yet. And have you forgotten the encouraging words God spoke to you as his children? He said, "My child, don't make light of the Lord's discipline, and don't give up when he corrects you." Correction is good. He does it because he loves us. Just like when we corrected our kids, we loved them. We didn't do it thinking, ha, 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 I'm the boss of you. I get to tell you what to do. We did it because we knew what the outcome of their actions were going to be, and we didn't want them to have to go through that hard place. So we would take them aside and tell them, look, you know, I know what you're doing, I know what you're feeling, I know what you're thinking, but that's not going to be the outcome you get. Yes. Change your ways. Yeah. That's the correction from the Lord, because he loves us. For the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes each one he accepts as his children. As you endure this divine discipline, remember that God is treating you as his own children. Whoever heard of a child who is never disciplined by his father? If God doesn't discipline you as he does all of his children, it means that you are illegitimate and not really his children at all. Since we respected our earthly fathers who disciplined us, shouldn't we submit even more to the discipline of the Father of our spirits and live forever? Amen. For our earthly fathers disciplined for us for a few years. For our earthly fathers disciplined us for a few years, doing the best they knew how. But God's discipline is always good for us, so that we might share in his holiness. No discipline is enjoyable while it is happening. Any of you parents ever say, this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you? I don't believe that, but but afterward, there will be a peaceful harvest of right living. Listen to that. How many of you want to live in peace in this day and time? It doesn't say that, well, if everything gets better, then you can live a peaceful life. No, in the middle of the turmoil is where we need peace. When everything's going good, we don't need peace. Right? When everything is happening and clicking and everything, you're at peace already. Peace is a product of our lives being in Christ. So therefore, we don't have peace today and no peace tomorrow. If it's a product of our life, just like love is a product of our life in Christ, we have love every day. We just don't choose to operate in it every day. Same thing with peace. We have peace every single day. It is available for us. Do we choose to operate in it today? I am going to, because my words are going to bring it to my life. Isn't that what he's saying right here?
Yeah.
Well, the way we're acting, the way we're talking, that's what's going to bring peace to my life.
Yeah.
Amen. No discipline is enjoyable while it's happening. It's painful. But afterward, there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. So take a new grip with your tired hands and strengthen your weak knees. Mark out a straight path for your feet so that those who are weak and lame will not fall but become strong. Work at living in peace with everyone and work at living a holy life. For those who are not holy will not see the Lord. Look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble your corrupting many. So our actions don't just affect us. Make sure that no one is immoral or godless like Esau, who traded his birthright as the firstborn son for a single meal. You know that afterward, when he wanted his father's blessing, he was rejected. It was too late for repentance, even though he begged with bitter tears. So what we're doing is we're setting ourselves up to live a peaceful life, to live a life of wholeness, to live a life of health, to live a life with all of our needs met. Yes, we're setting ourselves up by our actions and our words. Isn't it interesting? It says take a new grip with your tired hands. Yeah. He realizes it's hard for us sometimes, but he made it possible for us. And strengthen your weak knees. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps. That's how we would say it. Start thinking and talking how you want your payday. Mark out a straight path for your feet so that those who are weak and lame will not fail but become strong. So those people that are watching us, those people that are looking at us, it's going to encourage them and strengthen them to see when the worst thing that could ever happen in our life came, we still had peace and joy. Amen?
Amen.
It's not going to benefit us or the ones that are watching our lives for us to get all tore up, all worked up, and start talking crazy. This stuff don't work. I've tried this faith stuff, you know. And I hear people say it periodically. I've tried faith and it didn't work. Faith works.
Yes, it does. Amen.
You didn't in that situation. But faith did.
Yes,
ma'am.
Amen?
2021 is going to be different because of my words. Tell your neighbor that. 2021 is not going to be a year that I can't have everything God has provided for me. We have lived so far beyond what God has for us. We've got accustomed to it. Below, thank you. We've lived so far below what He's got for us. I want to go beyond what I have ever had before. I want to go beyond what He has for me. Amen?
Amen.
I want to be one of those, He's like, well done. Woo, look at Sally go. Living the dream in 2021. You know, if we watch the news and everything that's going on in the world, we can talk crazy and say things like, it's just getting worse. Well, the Bible told us that. It's going to get worse. It's going to get darker. Gross darkness is going to be upon the earth. But a rise shine. For our light has come.
Glory to God.
We don't live the way the world lives. We don't live the way the Gentiles did. We don't look to the winds to see the wind and rain to see when to sow. We don't look at natural things to see how to live. We look at the Word of God. that tells us that we can have abundance, we can have health, we can have all these things as long as we do what He's telling us to do. Walk in love. Say the right thing. Do the right thing. Act the right way. Amen. Everything we get is from a seed. Let's go over to Genesis 8. Genesis 8, verse 22. Says, while the earth remains. Is the earth still here?
Yes.
It is, because we're on it, right?
Yes.
Seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. So that lets me know that God was not surprised with what happened this year. But He's saying, even though things that we didn't think or things that we didn't like happened, the earth remains. And while you're here on it, there's going to be seed time and harvest.
That's right.
While you're here on it, there's going to be victory for you if you want it.
Yes, ma'am.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen. While we're living on this earth, all of these things that remain, all of these things are going to remain until the earth is gone.
Yes.
That's even water.
Yes, ma'am.
And trees.
Yes.
The devil will use anything to get us in fear,
yes,
to get us out of faith.
Yes,
just a few of the things. What are global warming? Is it true?
No.
I don't know. Really and truly, I don't know. I can't say. But what is true that I can say is that while I'm on this earth and this earth is here, there's going to be seed, time, and harvest. So I'm not going to be affected if it's getting hotter everywhere or colder everywhere. It's not going to affect my life because seed, time, and harvest. I'm going to be able to live according to what God called me to, because as long as the earth remains, there's going to be cold and heat,
yes,
and summer,
yes,
and winter, and day, and night, and health, and healing for those that will believe it. So if you have to put a little sticker on your, don't watch the news. Or find a good channel. What's the channel, y'all?
American Stands is on Victory Network.
Victory Network, America Stands. Find one like that, that you can watch. But if you watch the other news every day, okay, today we're running out of water. Tomorrow all the trees are, and you get these people that are so caught up in this stuff that they start spending every penny they have to go and march or protest somewhere about people using water. As long as the earth remains, seed, time, harvest, cold, heat, summer, winter, days and night shall not cease. Well, if we're going to have water shortages everywhere, how are we going to grow trees? How are we going? It ain't my concern. I do my part to take care of the earth while I'm living on it. I don't litter. It really irritates me to see people throw trash out their window. It really does. I don't litter. I keep my area that God has blessed me with clean.
Right.
I take care of it. I make it look good. What he put under my hands, I make look good. When I go to visit the parks and stuff, I don't trash them up. I obey the rules in there. I don't take rocks and say, well, they ain't gonna miss this one. You know, they do have signs in the parks that says, please don't take the rocks, because, you know, pretty soon you, one year you go and there's rocks this high, and the next year you go back and there's two rocks, and they won't miss just one. What's a rock? Obey the rules. Amen. But I do my part to take care of what he has given me. Because I have his word telling me that he is taking care of me. And he's not going to let it fail as long as the earth is here. He's going to take care of it. That's his responsibility. Amen? The way we live sometimes has a lot to do with the rain and stuff in an area. The way that certain area is living, like if that community or something has really turned its back on God, God's not withholding the rain from them, but the rain won't come because the blessing of God is not on that community.
Amen.
So our community and everything can be affected by the way we live and by the way we are operating. So we should be more about teaching people what's their responsibility.
Amen.
Instead of telling them, well, you know, the government's going to take care of you.
Amen.
No, they're not. They would like for you to put all of your trust in them, but that is not who we are to put our trust into.
Amen.
We put our trust in God. Everything we get is from a seed. And while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Our thoughts can be seeds.
Yeah.
Our thoughts can be seeds. And how do we plant them? By saying them. By saying things, we are repeating things we hear on the news. The earth it's global warming. We're all going to burn up here no. Yeah, in July it'll be warm, yes. We see that we can have a negative effect on our lives and our community or the people around us or our family by what we're saying and what we're believing. Because when you believe something, what happens? You start talking about it. Well, if we hear something long enough, it gets instilled in our heart. And then out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And your heart here not being your natural blood pump, but your spirit man. So if we've got our spirit man all confused, he don't know the word of God from the news. We're going to cause things to come to pass that we shouldn't be causing to come to pass. Amen. We're going to cause things in our lives and in our community around us to happen that should not be happening. In the Webster Dictionary, the word law means a rule or a conduct of action prescribed or formally recognized as binding or enforced by a controlling authority. Genesis 8:22 is a law.
Yes,
it is a law.
Yes,
And the controlling authority of that law is God Almighty Himself. Because He set it into action. He is the controlling authority in that. So, do we believe God?
Yes.
Do we believe that He's able to overcome whatever's coming down the pipes?
Yes.
Jesus said that He overcome the world so that we could. You know, when somebody turns around and gives you something, it automatically becomes your possession to do with what you want. And when Jesus come to the, when He went to hell and took the keys from the devil, He turned around and gave them to us, the church, right? So it's up to us whether we use those keys as freedom for our lives, or we use those keys to keep ourselves in a prison. A key will get you in, or a key will get you out. Use the keys properly.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen?
What are the keys? Things we've been talking about this morning. Our words.
Yeah.
Our actions. Walking in love. Those are keys to operating in the kingdom.
Amen.
Those are keys for us doing things according to God's will and plan for our life. So if we decide that we are just okay where we are, not only are we causing ourselves harm and hurt, we're causing people that are watching our lives harm and hurt.
Yes,
because they need to know the same things we're learning.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Things that we enjoy, things that we do, should always glorify God.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Once we start thinking or meditating on something, it will soon start to come out of our mouth. It will soon start being a work in progress. And then the law is going to come into effect. And that word, that seed that we are planting, is going to produce a harvest. In Matthew 12:34, the last half of that verse says, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." So if we have to change the things that are in our heart in order to have the things God's got for us, don't you think that's something we can do? Something we can accomplish by changing what we listen to, changing what we're saying? A good man out of a good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of an evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. That's when the law in Genesis goes into effect. When we start planting that seed with our tongue. The law can work for you or against you. Just like a speed limit is a law, right?
Yeah, right.
It can work for you,
yeah,
or against you. If you obey it, it works good. You don't have any issues. You don't have any problems. But if you speed, what happens? That law will cost you something.
Yes, ma'am.
A speeding ticket. That's when the law works against you. When you go outside the law.
Amen.
The same way our words can work against us when we say and talk the wrong things in our life. 2021 has to be different because my words are going to be different.
Yes. Yes.
Y'all know what insanity is, right?
Yes.
Doing the same thing over and over and over and expecting different results. That's insanity. This year, we're going to do things different. We're going to say things different.
Yeah.
If you have to get you all these little verses and put on your kitchen refrigerator or on your mirror when you're brushing your teeth in the morning, then do it. To remind yourself, to get in the habit of saying what you want, saying what you need, saying what you're expecting this year.
Yeah.
And don't watch all the news.
Right.
Amen.
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 Yeah.
Just because we're believers and covenant people doesn't mean that everything God has for us is just going to come upon us.
Amen.
We have to do our part.
Yeah.
We have to speak the word. And we have to walk in love.
Yeah.
Amen. Do what you know is right.
Yes, ma'am.
Amen?
Yeah.
Pastor Hagen told a story about a man that was treating his wife bad and not walking in love toward her. He just really treated her ugly. And Brother Hagen told him, said, "Don't you know that the Lord doesn't want you to do that, and if you don't change, it's going to cost you?" And I don't remember what his response was. Did he? Did he say anything back, or he didn't even answer him, I don't think. But he did not change. And this guy was a pastor, and he died in his 40s. That's not God's best. And he had a warning.
Yes, ma'am.
He had a warning. God has warned us.
Amen.
His word is our warning.
Yeah.
Act right, do right, and live long. Amen?
Amen.
2021 is going to be better because we're going to talk better.
Amen.
We're going to do what we know to do.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
2021 can be the best year you ever had.
Amen?
Amen? Y'all say that.
2021
is going to be my best year yet.
Amen.
Amen. I don't like living below what God's got for me. I want all he's got.
Amen?
Amen.
And what a wonderful word this morning. Glory.